change the culture, the mindset, the expectation level, and improve the brand of Indiana Hoosier football.
Football team.
Simply put, I think we're good. I think we're good. I don't care who we've played. When you beat a team by seven touchdowns that was ranked 27th in the country going into the week, I think you got to be considered top 10. And it's even more satisfying when that said team was talking so much smack all week, calling us a basketball school, calling us that we're, you know, stick to basketball, stuff like that. It's just so satisfying when they're talking all that smack, saying we haven't played anyone, and then it almost seems like after the game we still haven't played anyone.
Yeah, we're going to jump right into switching things up a little bit. We're just going to jump right into this game review because this was just straight – I mean, it was literally just straight belt to ass. Like, to be completely honest with you, we were both pretty confident going into the weekend. We both thought Indiana would win big, cover, look good doing it. Fuck, man. I'll echo Matt Rhule at the post-game press conference. I didn't see this coming.
I didn't see it coming either. Like, I think Nebraska's still a good team. I think they're probably going to win 7 or 8 games, maybe even 9, like, if things go their way. It's just we belt to ass the whole time.
Yeah, and Indiana just kicked the shit out of them.
Yeah, I pictured, like, a 2-score victory. Like, I thought I was being super trendy by, like, saying that. Never in my wildest dreams did I expect 5, let alone 7 touchdowns to beat a college football blue blood. Like, that's what they are, a blue blood. They invest in the football just like we're just starting to do. In our first year of investing in football, we're able to beat a team like that by 7 touchdowns. It really shows, like, what the sleeping giant that we've alluded to throughout our time on this pod that Indiana could be.
Yeah, this will be a deep cut reference for the true fans of Sigs Inside, but the volcanoes have erupted, Brad. The official number was 53,082. It was a complete sellout of Memorial Stadium. I personally have never seen it that filled. I know people on the Big Noon Kickoff broadcast were saying it. Urban Meyer was like, I've been to Bloomington a handful of times or whatever. I've never seen it like this. It was emotional, dude. Like, we matter. The amount of people that were reaching out to me, texting me congratulations, being like, are you watching this? Are you seeing this? Like, we have a national relevance and an influence in the national college football conversation literally for the first time ever.
I'm glad that you said the word emotional, because I think that's a sentiment that a lot of people who truly love Indiana felt going into that game and also after that game. Like, Hoosier Hysteria, you know, the new hype video drops out. Like, I don't know if it was the lack of sleep I had the night before because I was so amped up for this game. But not going to lie, shed a tear watching that, you know, Hoosier Hysteria new intro for the basketball team. And then, like, going into the biggest game of our college football program's history at this point. Now it's the whatever game's next is the biggest game.
Yep.
Because we're on a run that we've never seen before at this school. It was emotional. It really was. And it's just so awesome to see that our school is capable of this. Like, shout out to Tom, because he showed us that it was possible with Mike Penix and all those guys.
Yeah, shout out to Mike Penix, who saw a game action in the NFL today. Echoed this same sentiment. I tweeted it out. That, like, they, like, those building blocks matter. Like, Tom Allen matters, but... Please finish.
The fact of the matter is, Tom Allen walked so Cignetti can run with it. And he's doing it. Like, we're going into the year, we were talking like 8-4, 9-3. Like, that would be pretty stellar and a great first year. Like, for any program that has a first year head coach, like, getting 8 or 9 wins, like, that's a fantastic year. And the fact that we're looking at, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 wins in our first year is. We're way ahead of schedule, and that's beautiful to see. Like, we might have to cash those checks earlier, which we have the money to do so. Sig's not leaving. And it's just awesome because we have our guy, and we're the sleeping giant has awoken.
100%. I want to go back to the one point you made about like Nebraska being. Oh, actually, this kind of ties in completely. But we were talking about last week how like if we look good beating Nebraska, that we kind of jump where they are in terms of the hierarchy of the Big Ten and the timeline of Cignetti and this staff moves up significantly. Like the impact that this game's going to have on recruiting. Like there, you can't look at Nebraska and put them ahead of Indiana in any type of like long-term outlook, short-term outlook, like. Quite simply put, Indiana is a better football program than Nebraska. This guy Dirk Chatlin tweeted, "In Nebraska's defense, it's a lot easier to execute a quick renovation at a traditional powerhouse with all the resources you could ask for. We can't all be Indiana."
A beautiful tweet. I saw that one. It's fucking awesome, man. We're actually here, and we already said this. Like, we could be an everything school, and that's what other people in the national pundits were saying. Joel Klatt giving us the shout out. We can be an everything school. Gus Johnson was loving every second of that game for Indiana, because it's just a beautiful thing to see. Like, this team, this powerful school with one of the biggest alumni bases in the world is, somehow can't field a good football team.
Doesn't
And
make sense.
first year we decide to, put some money into it. We're able to, with a
Yeah.
ragtag group of all conference group of five guys, like, we're able to
Yeah,
get the shit done. It's awesome. Imagine what we could do with, the higher star level. Now, with that being said, I know that, production over potential is not going to go away. But we're going to be able to get our pick of the litter, which is fantastic moving forward. We're gonna be able to get any guy we want for
it's
the
just
most
like
part. Obviously, there's gonna be recruiting losses and things like that, but
No, it feels like we're playing a video game right now. It's actually crazy. And to your point, like Gus, like Johnson and Klatt were really enjoying themselves during the game. Like the stories that were coming out as the game started to unfold, like in the third and fourth quarter, like we got this nugget from Gus Johnson because he called the game where Cignetti was brought out onto the basketball court, where he said Purdue sucks and so does Ohio State and Michigan. And he said he looked at Sig because Sig was sitting like near where the booth was, and he looked at him after, and he's like, "How do you really feel?" And Sig's quote was, he said, "We're gonna kick their asses." He believed everything he said. It was like he could have told Gus Johnson, he could have been like, "Eh, like I just had to rile up the people." He was like, "No, we're gonna whoop them."
he's never taken a backseat to anyone, and he doesn't plan on starting that.
Nope. Klatt also had a pretty good quote where he said the luggage was not, may not have been Louis. But it was Samsonite for sure. Reliable, durable, like gets the job done. Like people are. It's funny because people are saying the exact same things that we were saying 6 months ago. Where it's like you're looking at this team, and you're looking at the way they practice, and you're looking at the quotes that come out and the recruits they're getting, and the way that people who follow recruiting are talking about the way recruits talk about them. And I'm talking about the On Threes and the Whip Bongs and all that good stuff. Like it was just different. The air smelled different. The look was different. It was just different. And like you see the result of putting that kind of effort into football. It's like emotional is the word I keep coming back to. I saw another tweet and I went looking for it and it was just I couldn't find it. But it was like I think it was something along the lines of like if you didn't cry today then you're not a real Indiana football fan. And I don't know if I would go that far. But like, damn, man, when Elijah Surratt caught that fade ball in the end zone from Taven, and it was like, holy shit! Like, I can't believe we're in. This is stepping on a little bit of the game, but Rourke is gonna miss some time, and the offense looks exactly the same. It was like, I shed a tear, like legitimately shed a tear. I was like,
This
I
is a
can't.
program.
This is a yeah, it is. And
It's a goddamn program.
college fucking game day's coming next week. College game day pulled the goddamn trigger. They're like, Big Noon was there, and Barstool was there, and they both. Shout out, first of all, shout out to the fucking students and the people who went to Bloomington, Indiana, because Big Noon kickoff was there. That atmosphere was crazy. Barstool kickoff show was there. That atmosphere was crazy. They packed the hell out of the stadium. Kilroy's was packed. Upstairs Pub was packed. Like, College game day literally saw that and was like, we need to get there immediately. The college game day is going to a Big Ten Network noon kickoff and are not
I was
worried
gonna say
about.
that was the funniest thing about the whole thing about College Game Day is that we're on Big Ten Network. Like, that's something that needs to be fixed. Like, how are
Not
we
only
not gonna be
that,
on ABC?
and not only that are we on Big Ten Network, but But we're on at noon. So all of the people going to the game, if you want to be in the stadium on time, can't be at College Game Day, which they knew going into the weekend. And so they made the decision anyway, because the buzz is that real, that they're not worried that when 52,000 people go into the stadium, that there's going to be nobody in the back of their pick'em show. They're confident people are going to show up anyway, because they will. That's the kind of buzz that has been created around this program, which is like, I can feel it, and I'm thousands of miles away.
Remember that stat that you said about how on game days, Lincoln is the third largest city in the state of Nebraska? That might start being Bloomington real quick.
Listen, if
there's going to be hundreds of thousands of people in that town on game days moving forward. You have the student body that's already massive. You have the fans that are packing in, going to Roy's, Joey Chestnut making an appearance. Like, yeah, the sleeping giant term is something that I think we're just going to keep using.
Well, it's no longer sleeping. Giant. Like, the volcanoes are erupting, Brad. Well, maybe we'll have to put it on a t-shirt. The volcanoes, the dormant volcanoes that were Indiana football fans are erupting. Like, there are people all over the place. I'm seeing, like, people we went to school with that, like, I know don't give a shit about sports, posting about football, having tailgates, like, watching the game, going to the game. One of my buddies literally took a red eye Friday night flight and went to the game Saturday. It's exciting, dude. It's exciting. And then we, like, I don't know how much of the game you want to talk about, if you want, like, how detailed you want to get into it, but, like, it was an absolute waxing. Like, my biggest key going into the game was, can the offensive line continue to look the way they've looked, or are we going to have a little bit of a crash back to quote unquote reality? It's like, no, this is reality.
They
might be the best offensive line in the fucking country, because Nebraska's defensive line was legitimately a top 10 defensive line.
And they still are. Like, we just made them look like Swiss cheese out there.
Yeah, they looked like they weren't on the field.
Yeah, as soon as Ellison broke off that first run that resulted in, got us in the red zone on that first drive. Then obviously we, got stalled a little bit, had to go for it on fourth, and we still got it because, Cignetti's him. And then we ended up scoring a touchdown in the first quarter on our first drive. Like, from that moment on, I knew we were legit regardless of the outcome of this game.
We can move the ball. We could literally move the ball on anybody.
Move the ball at will.
The fact that we could just run the ball for 7 yards a carry, that, like, Ellison's quote was like, I was running behind, like, in the Red Sea. I can't even speak. I don't even know who to give praise to first. Is it Bosted? Is it everyone? Kadick, Lynch, Evans, Wettig, Carter Smith, Carter Smith is the least talked about player on the Indiana football team. That's the highest praise you can possibly give a left tackle. Set and forget.
It's amazing because it truly is like an 11-man unit. Like, you see the Jake Butt film breakdowns. Like, you see it during the game, obviously, but, like, you see it broken down by, like, the Big Ten pundits like Jake Butt. And he's breaking down and just hyping up, the outside blocking of the receivers. Like, everyone's just doing their damn job, which is so good to see. Like, Surratt blocking 30 yards downfield. He's our number one receiver on pace for 1,000 yards. He's blocking 30 yards downfield, getting a pancakes. Like, this team just loves to win. And we knew that going into the year, but it's just beautiful to see that it's, like, for real, And it's going to continue moving forward. We're going to continue getting guys like that that are bought in, receivers that, maybe we don't want five-star receivers because they don't block downfield. Maybe we don't want that guy. We want the other guy that's going to do their damn job.
Give me Omar Cooper. Omar Cooper made one of the filthiest catches of the day that nobody's talking about, with the dude grabbing at his chest. And then on two plays later was the lead blocker on that Miles Price touchdown, where it's like he shifted inside to block the first guy, but the first guy took off to blitz. So then he reshifted his body and, like, cleaned out the one guy out there, and Price walked in. It was like textbook. It was literally textbook. There was somebody put up a clip of Kadick literally stifling two blitzers in one play. Like, there was one of the touchdown runs, Zach Horton came across the line and literally blocked two defensive tackles in one play. Like, it was like, these dudes are monsters.
It's ridiculous. They're so well coached. And, like, Rourke is the engine, obviously. Like, makes it, a top five offense in the country. And I mean, Rourke, they talk about the back shoulders before the game and throughout the week and how good he is at back shoulders. And then he has this one drive where he goes back shoulder to Surratt, back shoulder to Cooper, and then they throw that screen to Price for the touchdown. Like three plays, boom, we already scored. Like we're up 14-0. We're buzzing.
His ball
It,
placement is
it's
just
special. It,
ridiculous.
we're so for real. It's ridiculous. And I don't want to hear any more of that. Have we played anyone? Like we've whooped everyone by two touchdowns.
We
And
just
the
made
teams
them.
we've played with are beating other teams now because we're at that point of the year. The schedule doesn't even look as bad as it did before the game
UCLA
started.
just beat Rutgers.
Maryland beat USC and
Maryland
Northwestern
beat
beat
USC.
Northwestern did lose to Wisconsin, who looks really good. We'll get into that later, but Northwestern the previous week whooped Maryland, who just beat USC. So it's like, I don't know. It's tough. It's clear the Big Ten is deep, and any win is a good win.
Well, you know what? You know who that's horrible for? Not to get too far off track, because I do want to keep talking about the game, but that's terrible for the SEC.
Because that
Because
LSU loss that we alluded to in the
USC
State of the Union,
USC beat
that
LSU, and LSU and USC has been horrible.
it's foul because the CFP is in bed with the SEC and ESPN, so it's like.
They're
Even
going to get
though
four
the Big Ten
bids.
probably should be a four bid league, we're still probably going to be a three bid league, which is really unfortunate. But if they do the right thing, Big Ten should be a four bid league, and I hope they do the right thing.
We
But
both know they
that's
will.
a long ways away from now. Let's just enjoy the win for now. Like, this team was up
I do
28
want to.
nothing.
Oh, sorry. I want to sing the praises of the defense real quick because I believe they took a lot of unnecessary flack, a lot of shit, a lot of you're the
From
weak
me.
point of, from you, from everybody. Even on like the like Joel Klatt's talking to the broadcast, like all this Indiana defense has to do is survive and get the offense back on the field because it's clear the defense is the weak. Dude, they clamped Nebraska. You could talk about any four-star recruits, how all the talent Nebraska has on offense. Raiola this, Raiola that. Like here, my keys going to the game were make Raiola look like a freshman, stop the run, and dominate the offensive line. And like they did all of those things and then some. Like they were just like Raiola looked lost out there.
Their
Like this
leading
need.
rusher was their backup quarterback, Henrik Harburg, who they run packages for. He was the leading rusher. Dante Dowdle had 7 carries for 16 yards. Emmett Johnson had 8 carries for 24 yards. They did nothing on the ground against us.
Jalen
And I
Walker.
did, even though I was giving them some critiques on the preview, I did say that I have a theory that they're just kind of bored. They want to play, Nebraska and Washington now. Like they're kind of just chopping at the bit. And I think that really showed on Saturday that they're just. When you get that team, that defense ready to play for a big game, like they're going to show up, and
You
I'm confident
gave.
moving forward. Like this is a legit playoff team. They're so well rounded in all facets. The special teams is great, even though don't get to see them too much, but it's awesome.
They gave Brian Haynes and the rest of the staff 2 weeks to prepare. What did they think was going to happen? Like Jalen Walker looked for somebody who was a little bit maybe banged up and like was questionable to play 2 weeks ago, looked phenomenal, arguably the best player on the field. Sean Asbury, like nobody's really said his name either, and he's played really well this year, but he finally put up the stats to back up how well he's been playing. That was really cool to see. He had a fantastic game. Pons was phenomenal. So was Jameer Johnson. Like Nebraska really did nothing. They threatened a little bit in the red zone, but even when they got close, like Indiana turned the ball over. Me and you talked a lot about like that's kind of one of the things we're hoping for is we know maybe Raiola is probably going to give the secondary a couple chances, but the fumbles they forced too. Kamara on the strip sack late in the third or fourth quarter, like early in the first quarter there was the
Jalen Walker, helmet
yeah
to ball
Walker
on
put.
Dowdle.
Hat to ball, phenomenal. They were absolutely phenomenal.
It's ridiculous. The only thing that was exposing him was there was Thomas Fedone, their tight end, was able to get some big plays, and that's really all they had the whole game. And yeah, moving forward, like I'm gonna apologize to the defense. Like I think it was credit. I think it was critiques that was deserved. But I'm sorry for doubting in any facet. And moving forward, that won't happen again. I'm never going to doubt this coaching staff as long as they're there, no matter what teams are. Even if we go through some sort of turmoil, like I'm going to believe. I'm locked in. I know they're going to figure it out.
even
That's
when the
how I feel
even
about
when
this
the
program
second
right now.
and even when the second and third unit came in, like, it was still clamps. Like, there wasn't any garbage. There was no garbage time for Nebraska. There was nothing.
It was garbage time in the second quarter. It was half. It was midway through the second quarter. It was already garbage time. Game was
over.
I meant
like there was no like empty stats. There was no like I thought they would squeak out a couple touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Like you said, it seemed like Indiana had a tendency to get a little bored in these games. Like,
I saw Nebraska
people showed
fans
up and they
whining.
Responded.
I saw Nebraska fans whining about Sid keeping the starters in.
You know what? One of the
I thought you were a football tool.
Know,
how about stop the run? How about stop the run, Nebraska? How about do that?
You see who was one of the gunners on punt in late in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left. Miles Price is a gunner.
He's a maniac. It's ridiculous. I love that guy.
I fucking
so
love
much.
It. Good.
Pay
and
him,
guess what?
Check.
Guess what? Keep kicking the shit out of these teams. Like, I don't get. Yeah. You don't keep the start. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, beat Nebraska 56-7. Like, yeah.
We're
that's
Indiana. The reality is we're Indiana. We need style points. That's just the reality. And people are starting to take notice. I think our highest ranking on an AP poll ballot was 5, which was from the Ohio State guy, actually, which is pretty cool.
They're
taking Big Ten knows. Big Ten knows what's up. Big Ten knows what's up.
Well, everybody's on notice now.
They're on notice for sure.
People thought Nebraska was a good team, and like you alluded to early, like they still might be a good team, but they didn't belong on the field, and that's reality.
Yeah, on that day and time, like they were not ready for what we were bringing, and they had a bye week too. It wasn't like they're on some. They played last week. Like they had 2 weeks to prepare for us. Maybe they spent too much time preparing for Ohio State. That's next week. Maybe that's their own fault, but even if they, I think if they did dedicate 2 full weeks to Indiana, I don't think the result would have been much different.
I got a secret for the Huskers listening out there, because we actually did have some blips in Lincoln. You could have had a fucking 100 weeks to prepare for this game. It wouldn't have changed a damn thing.
2 years. Give them 2 years. Yeah, no. When you have 11 guys on the field that are executing to perfection, it's really hard to stop no matter what the talent level is. And the fact of the matter is, I think our talent's a lot better than what people think. These are all
good.
Conference guys. These are guys that have won. They produced at the college level, whether that's at Texas Tech or Ohio or Old Dominion. It really doesn't matter. Like, these are dudes. These are just the guys that were the best players on their teams. And they came to Indiana.
These are grown men playing football, and they're good at it. Really fucking good at it. And they're more athletic than people give them credit for, too. Still.
I think... I don't want to say if underestimated is the right term here, but Sig's eye for talent is something to know. I mean, that dude is one of the best scouts of high school talent and college talent that I might be in the college game right now.
Well, he was...
He's definitely...
He was recruiting coordinator for Alabama on Saban's first staff, and he did talk a lot about on his Hoosier Connect interview feeling like he was getting shoehorned to that position and didn't want to be like that's part of the reason why he made that move. And also one of the nuggets we got as this game got out of hand from Klatt and Johnson is that Cignetti told them that Saban kind of tried to talk him out of taking the IUP job. And that he said you could get lost down there and lost in the shuffle of, like, people go down, they don't come back up. And he bet on himself. And so, like, yeah, he probably would have been Saban's recruiting coordinator forever. Like, we jokingly say he found Ingram and Hightower and Julio Jones. But
no,
like,
he did.
He was the recruiting coordinator that was there.
Martin
when those
Ingram
guys...
loves that guy. You saw it on Big Noon Kickoff. He loves Cignetti.
Like, that's... I don't know how much more stamped you need to be.
Yeah, I'm shocked that Saban picked against him. I'm shocked that happened.
Clowns. Non-believers. That's what I'm telling you. People can't get it out of their head that, like, the Sun Belt guys have stepped up and started. Like, they're not seeing the type of athlete. Like, people look at Sean Asbury and they're like, oh, he went to ODU. It's like, no, that dude was a fucking BC commit. Like, that guy was playing Power 5 football at one point. Like, that dude's awesome. Like, Jalen Walker is on the freaks list. Aiden Fisher is like... That dude's so goddamn dedicated to football that you literally you wouldn't be able to process it as a normal human being. That's how hard this kid's working to be where he's at. Like, these dudes want it so bad. Every time Sig talks about them, it's like they all have that same chip on their shoulder. Like, I didn't get recruited by Virginia. I didn't get recruited by Virginia Tech. Like, none of these big schools looked at me, and I believe I'm good enough to play there, and I'm going to work like it. And it shows, man. It really shows. Like, it's inspiring shit. It really is.
Yeah, speaking of ODU transfers, I'm getting out my first helmet sticker. Terry Jones Jr., who runs with the twos and mixes in with the DBs, is rotational DB with this team, is not listed as a starter. Probably had the best game on defense out of anyone. He was everywhere on that field. Number 12 was everywhere. And I just remember verbally saying that to the game during the game, and that's why he's getting my helmet sticker. He had the stats back it up. 6 tackles and a sack. He was everywhere making plays for this team. And, yeah, we talked about the depth of this DB room in the offseason. They're getting better by the week. They really are.
Yeah, I'm actually giving my helmet sticker to the other ODU transfer, Sean Asbury. I thought he was fantastic. I thought Jones was phenomenal as well. Especially, they use him as a blitzer a lot, too. Really effective at doing everything they asked him to do. I thought shifting away from the helmet sticker conversation real quickly. Did you notice the first package we came out in, like, to start the game when Nebraska was pinned inside their one? Because it was big. I think it was at least 3 linebackers on the field, but it was Walker and Hardy and Fisher.
They threw Hardy in there over Bones?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Bones played a lot.
He had another pick today. He's tied for the lead on this for interceptions.
Bones played a lot, crazy. Too. Dropping back in coverage, making plays. Yeah. Like,
he had a pass breakup.
They caught on everybody.
Yeah. All hands on deck.
Yep.
I love this team so much, and I can't wait to just finish out the ride with them.
We had a write-in helmet sticker, Brad.
Write-in?
Yeah.
From who?
From my buddy, Will Vogt, playing Fantasy League with him. Helmet sticker love to the Vogt. Entire... Yeah. Helmet sticker to the entire offensive line. Said, made Nebraska's defense look like the Little Giants.
Little Giants won that game, by the way. But anyway, they won the ship. But with the Fumbleroski, if you don't remember. But, you know, they need gimmicks to get done.
No, I get it.
Yeah, the O-line's been getting – they're the best O-line in the conference.
Them. Yeah.
They're the best O-line in the conference. I had my doubts going into it because, you know, maybe they weren't one. Maybe they were 2, 3, 4. But after watching that performance against Nebraska where we – you know, talked at nauseam about how good their D-line is with Robinson and Hutmaker, which they looked non-existent during that game. They were only really able to get to work with stunts from the linebackers. They were able to get to him a few times early on. We made adjustments. It didn't seem to be the case. Taven Jackson had a clean pocket when he was in the entire second half. The O-line is legit, and shout out to Bob Bostad. I'm glad that Cignetti got that, you know, incentive where he's able to pay his assistants a little bit more. What was it, $500,000?
Yep.
Extra to pay his assistants, which is going to be like about $50,000 in raises for all of them.
If that's distributed evenly. If that's distributed evenly, it's assuming.
Which is fantastic to see. Which it probably will be, because it's like they're playing so well balanced football right now. There's no weak point in terms of any position group. They're probably top 3 at each position group in the Big Ten. It's great to see. And I'm glad we spent all the time going through this roster during the offseason, because they truly deserve that attention. They deserved all those 2-hour podcasts that we recorded during the offseason and talking about all of them ad nauseum and things like that. Like, they're making it all worth it. All the hard work we put in the podcast, all the other podcasts out there, like, it's making it all worthwhile, and it's such a great ride to see.
Yeah, that's actually super. That's funny. That's something I haven't thought about. But it's like, yeah, they are, in a very cool way, are justifying all of the time. And we could say effort. It is effort, but it's like fun. I enjoy doing it. But it's like the time, effort, and energy put into like learning who these guys are and where they came from and what they're about and how they're going to fit into the team and if they're going to adapt, and then seeing the growth in real time. And like, it's cool because you get like, you like build a connection to the team, and like for the team to turn around and play the way they're playing, and to watch the town respond the way they're responding, and like to know Bloomington and to understand like what good football could do there. It's like, Yeah, I keep coming back to the word emotional. I'm getting emotional right now. Like it's
Best college
like,
town in America. They deserve it.
yeah, they do, and it's the students deserve it. Like to be honest, we went during a time that wasn't like probably the darkest time of Indiana athletics. Like obviously Indiana soccer is phenomenal and swimming and diving is great. And I don't like we had great, academic programs and shit like that, but like football and basketball were down. I guess we did see the best Indiana football season of the last like 15, 20 years,
I
but
think we
like
were the first graduating class to during a 4-year stretch to see a winning record throughout those 4 years.
we
We
didn't see
went
an
five and
NCAA
seven,
tournament
five and
appearance,
seven,
but it's okay, whatever.
but we didn't see an NCAA tournament appearance. I think we were, this might have to be stat correct. I'm gonna have to go back into the seasons list at Indiana football, but I think that was the first 4-year stretch where Indiana had a winning record. At
But
least
yeah, it's
in the last 30, 40 years, 100%. Maybe they had a stretch during the 60s, but like that's before the moon landing. So I don't know if that's if that's something you can pull back to.
Nah, fair. I don't know. Well, I guess it, but it fell apart so quickly that it was like there was no sustained growth. It was like a blip versus like this feels sustainable. We
100%.
like we like the Dolson statue monument building section of the town, naming of the campus happens after Cignetti signs the lifetime contract and the statues go next to each other, or do they go on opposite sides of Memorial Stadium? Or do they name the entire area after Cignetti? Like, I'm not sure what they're gonna do,
I
but
think you
like,
got to put Dolson by Cook Hall, and then you got to put the Cignetti statue front and center on the north end of the, like, right by Talaferro.
you gotta put it in the game day shot because they're just gonna keep coming back.
100%. 100%.
Does
Well,
the
the thing is, you
Dolson
can't build a
st
statue until after they leave, so.
No, obviously. That's what I'm saying. We like maybe like name the complex after him or something.
Instead of Cook Hall, Dolson Hall.
The Dolson complex, which is the both Memorial Stadium and Assembly. Just get the lifetime contract.
We'll figure out the statue logistics later after we win the ship this year. We'll figure it out. But yeah, I kind of want to dive into the offense, give out some helmet stickers here too. One thing to note, all seven of our rotational receivers caught passes today. Even though
I
Key
love
Williams' one
seeing
catch was for negative yards, they got them all involved today. And Key
EJ
Williams,
Williams out there too.
yeah, I was saying, I think I made a comment, was anytime EJ Williams gets a catch, it's just gravy with this offense. It's unbelievable. That's our fourth outside guy, right? Fifth?
I don't even know. I literally couldn't
Him
tell
and
you.
Kobe are like 4 and 5, and then yeah, Williams and Price on the in running slot.
Well, Cross is in there too. It's like it's hard. Like I don't.
Cross
It's
is an
it.
outside guy, but he's an X. I want to apologize to Miles Cross because when I previewed him during the offseason, I thought he was a slot guy, but he's clearly just a well-rounded beast of a receiver named Hercules. And I think he's my favorite player on the team as a receiver guy. Obviously, I love Surratt, and he's an absolute freak. And Cooper is an NFL guy. Miles Cross is an absolute demon. It's ridiculous how strong that guy is.
They're all good, dude. They're all good. The Key's good. Price is
Best
good. Like
receiver room in the conference.
we haven't even seen Kobe or like EJ really get a shot, and like those guys could play too.
Yeah, we still haven't seen this team take the top off the defense. Like, they have that capability with Price, Kobe, and Key to run those deep routes and get maybe a 60-yard bomb, which we probably won't see with Taven, but obviously
No,
when Rourke
actually,
comes back.
I would think we probably are more inclined to throw the ball down the field with Taven. I think the thing Taven does, if we want to jump into a little, because Rourke, what was it, hurt his, ripped his fucking fingernail off or something. His thumb
His
was bleeding.
throwing thumbnail is ripped off,
Yeah,
is the
it's
sound of
tough.
it.
It's like brutal. The dude was having a legitimate Heisman season. He's like tied first in the
It
country
does
passing
derail the
touchdowns,
Heisman
and
campaign, which is
it's like.
unfortunate. He could still in the running for like an O'Brien Award, a Manning Award, like any of those quarterback awards. He's definitely still in the running for those. Unitas Golden Arm. Who knows? But that it probably derails the Heisman campaign, which is pretty unfortunate. But honestly, that's just one less distraction for this team. I think it could go well for the long run. Like, fuck a Heisman, let's get a Natty. Let's get a Big Ten title.
But the biggest differences between Taven and Curtis is like it's the athleticism and the arm talent. It's like Rourke's processing, his practice ability, his production put on the field. Like he's older, he's played more games, he's been awarded. You know what I'm saying? Like he has the production to back up the talent. But like Taven was a better recruit, 4-star. He's more athletic. He's gonna be a better runner, and he's got a stronger arm. And he's like a more natural, I don't know if he's a nat more natural thrower, but it's just the ball looks better coming out of his hand.
He's a 4-star recruit for a reason.
Like he's
And the
got
read
the
options,
tools.
yeah. The read option's gonna be more at play against Washington, which is really exciting. Just another thing they have to game plan for, which is awesome. And I'm gonna throw out my second helmet sticker. I'm throwing it to Taven Jackson, coming in ready. It's clear that he's just been a sponge with Rourke this whole offseason and just, being the humble, great kid he is, like just learning and understanding the situation. Like, yeah, we brought in Rourke. He's a fifth-year guy. He could go to the NFL, and we're gonna bring him in ahead of you, and we're gonna develop you, Taven, because we believe in you, and you're a 4-star, very talented kid. And he came in ready, 7 for 8, 91 yards, 2 touchdowns, which is more than Rourke. That beautiful back shoulder throw to Surratt in the third quarter had that easy little dink touchdown to Miles Cross on the motion. Taven's definitely getting a helmet sticker for just being ready and being an absolute sponge. And in the small sample size that we've seen him so far, it seems, and obviously we know this is quarterback friendly offense, but it still comes down to the quarterback to process everything and execute. He looks great out there, and it's night and day from last year. So I'm actually really pumped for him and excited for his opportunity to really get an opportunity to win the job for next year against Washington. Is really what this is. And I'm excited to see how he plays because I'm really pumped for him. It'd do great if we don't have to worry about getting a quarterback this offseason.
Yeah, I thought he was phenomenal coming in, not skipping a beat. Sigs sung his praises, said he needed to practice a little bit better, which I thought was kind of funny, but he said that he was proud of him and that because like obviously the guy who's with the twos isn't getting as many reps as the guy with the ones. But I thought the picture of Taven and Curtis walking towards the student section after the game where Taven had his arm around him was really cool. But yeah, it's the guy's talented and he did get playing time last year. One of the more frustrating things about last year was that we couldn't just stick to one quarterback and like let the guys develop. It was change and constant change. And first it was Taven's job, then it was Sorsby's job, then it was like just pick a guy and stick with him.
Yeah. In their
But
defense, like
we
Sorsby
like
is also very talented. He's having a great year at Cincy this year. In their defense, but it's just great to see Taven, take the leap that we expected that maybe to happen last year. It's starting to happen now that we got the couple quarterback whisperers in the building.
Yeah, and it's cool. Like obviously Taven's connection to the school, like he's Trace's brother, and TJD obviously is beloved in terms of like Indiana fandom. So to have the ability to kind of come in and play hero, and but not really, I mean, he doesn't have to take it all upon himself, but like to come in and do the job and kind of prove to yourself and prove to everybody why you decided to come home. Like you wanted the ability to play in big games. You wanted the ability to put on this jersey and go win for this team. And it's like now you have that shot. And like you said, we have the coaches in the room, we have the offense, the system is perfectly in place. Like you want to say like night and day, like look at who was running the offense last year. Literally he who should not be named, and I'm not gonna say his name, versus like the like
He's a terrorist.
what Mike Shanahan and Tino Sinceri and Kurt Cignetti and all these guys have cooked up this year is like. And Bob Bosted, like if you look at who was running the offensive line, that's another terrorist. We're not gonna say his name either. Like versus like the job Bosted's done is like that's night and day too. It's like, yeah, it's unbelievable the chance for redemption, I guess. And it's not like Taven played bad last year, but it's like he gets a shot to go out and play like to drive this machine and prove that he's the guy to do it for the next couple of years. I think that's huge.
I'm so excited for him. I'm so pumped.
That
And
being
yeah,
said,
like you were saying.
I'm giving my helmet sticker to Justice Ellison. He was fucking phenomenal. He was going crazy today. This was the Justice Ellison breakout game. Not that he has been anything but good the rest of the season, but like, Holy shit, he was fucking phenomenal.
So he has both over 100 rushing yard performances for Indiana this year, both coming with less than 10 carries. This team can run the ball. It's very clear. And if we're stalling at running the ball, we're just gonna run it more, trying to get it going, because we know it's gonna break eventually. And it's very clear that's how this team operates. Lawton also had a great game, averaging 8 yards a carry, 8 touches, 64 yards. Kalon Black, 4 carries, 22 yards, 5.5 yards a carry, and a touchdown. And Elijah Green somehow found the end zone again. Go figure. 5 touchdowns on the year for the fourth string running back in 7 games. It's great to see. The Ninja Turtles were in full force.
Ninja Turtles were popping off. Popping
Turtle
off.
power.
Turtle power, baby. Shout out to Coach John Miller. He's got those guys literally going crazy. Like they're as a room, as a unit, as individuals, they're all going crazy. Like it's cool to see. And then even the guys they're recruiting, like Sean Cuono, I don't have the stats in front of me, but like Sean Cuono, who's in Indiana's class of 2025, went ballistic. Ballistic this past week.
Get him behind that O line. Oh man.
And
Touchdown machine.
Kobe Martin was praising the offensive line on Twitter. We didn't really get to see much of Kobe in this game because we were going 5 running backs deep on Nebraska. It'd be hilarious, but no.
Yeah, no, we want Kobe to keep his red shirt. Like that's, the reality of it. But yeah, I think that kind of wraps up the game. I mean, 56-7 final. We didn't even say the score yet, which is crazy. We're like 40 minutes into this podcast, I haven't even said the score. 56-7 final.
I think I snuck it in there, but it was in the middle of a
Yeah. Seven,
different.
eight. Indiana scored 8 touchdowns. Nebraska scored 7 points. Straight up belt to ass at the end of the day.
Nebraska hadn't allowed a single rushing touchdown going into this game. They allowed 5.
It's like the team just keeps like being setting records and like being at the top of all these different rankings that you see out there, like being the only
Tied
team to not.
largest margin of victory against a Big Ten team ever.
By Indiana or
By Indiana.
unbelievable. And it was against Nebraska, a blue blood, a team that puts a lot of money, probably more money than we put in right now into football.
You want to? Well, it was funny. They were talking about Dylan Rayola's recruitment process, and I can't speak to this as being 100% fact, but I did hear it on good authority from people inside the industry that the little nudge Rayola got to move to Nebraska was about $8 million.
Whew. You should probably pay a coach that money. Like, what are we talking about here?
That is what I heard.
That goes against my philosophy of paying freshmen that type of money. That's the money that should be going toward your established starter that will be coming back. But I will say, Ryle is generational. Didn't have his best day. 0 touchdowns, 3 picks, 58.1 QBR. Woof. He had.
All that being said, though, I thought he looked fucking phenomenal. That dude's gonna be terrifying. He's a very clear top 5 pick in the next 2 years, and like as much as like I want to give him shit about like looking exactly like Mahomes, like that dude can make every throw on the football field. Like holy
Yeah,
shit.
he can. He's a good player. Like I'm gonna give him his flowers, which isn't really deserved after this game, but
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
Whatever
he's a
that
very
NIL
talented
was.
kid. And if for you Nebraska fans listening, I know we have a loyal Nebraska following.
Money well
Hey,
spent, I'll
I just
say.
want to
Whatever
thank you,
that money.
Nebraska fans, for selling out the rest of the year. And
Hashtag thank you, Nebraska.
you guys have a great, future. It's just, we're just at a different level. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
it's just it's yeah. It's just we're on two different planes. That's separates the big boys from the rest of the pack, and we talked about it last week. Indiana, if they win this game, jumps where Nebraska is kind of at in the hierarchy of the Big Ten, and they firmly supplant themselves in the top 5 of the Big Ten, I believe. And like they're clearly better than that Nebraska, Rutgers, whoever else you want to put in that tier of like teams that will compete with each other. You want to put Washington in that tier, like they're just better. There's a better
Yeah,
football team.
there's no reason for recruits to not go to Indiana at this point. There's zero. Especially after watching the crowd and everything that's been going on, the sleeping giant awakens and there's just no reason to not go to this school, and I can't wait for next week.
Do you
I
want to jump
can't
into the
wait.
smoke? Because I gotta you
Yeah,
ready for
let's
this
jump into some
transition?
smoke. Let's jump
Ready
into
for
the
this
smoke.
trans? You ready for this transition?
Yeah.
Speaking of recruits having no reason to not come to this school and throwbacks to the loyal Sigs and Side listeners and a callback to knowing Omar Cooper is still in the building. Tyrone Burris, who committed to Louisville, choosing Louisville over Indiana and I think Purdue, on Instagram Live, which I was watching right before we recorded, I think episode 2 or 3 of the podcast, and I mentioned it, but I didn't mention his name. He committed to Louisville. He is now officially on flip watch. They're predicting him to flip to Indiana. He was at the Nebraska game, so that's an edge, that an in-state guy that's potentially gonna be flipping to Indiana after the
Yeah,
Nebraska
I
ass
saw
whooping.
that. I saw that on three article, and I was locked out, and I just gave up. So it's good to know that that's who they were talking about. Cool.
No, I didn't. Well, I watched. Is it Whit Fong or Wilt Fong?
It's Wilt Fong.
But they do like a recruiting show, recruiting buzz type thing, and he did like a little like whip around recap, like 7 minute thing on Indiana, and it was basically like it wasn't anything we didn't know. It was like, oh, I did get that's where I got the Juju Nugget actually, where like, obviously it's the number one Juju Lewis podcast in not only the nation but the world. We got to put the spotlight on Juju. And so, like, obviously, we knew Juju wasn't going to be there. That's why we didn't talk about Juju potentially being at the game. We didn't, tweet about it or whatever. But that's where I got the nugget that Juju has been circling the Michigan game. Tristan Abram, who is a 4-star defensive lineman in the Indiana class, has been kind of talking to Michigan. He's going to take another visit there. Already had an official visit. But he affirmed that he's 100% locked in with Indiana. He is still looking at Michigan, so I don't know how much I really believe him. But he doubled down again, so that was cool to see. Javarius Hall, he tripled down. I think he just tweeted it for the engagement, which, like, honestly, he could tweet that every single day. I'll retweet it every single time. I'm a sucker for it. I don't even care. But yeah, it was a huge. Davion Chandler, he also mentioned, is the gem of Indiana's class. He's completely locked in with Indiana, despite getting a wild amount of mentions and. I think Monshun Sales, I think is his name, is the number one player in the class of 2027 in Indiana. He also put, I think he's on Lawrence North with Davion Chandler. And he's loving Indiana as well. So I'm not gonna say he's like gonna commit to the Hoosiers, but a very positive recruiting weekend for the boys.
Yeah, and I think Kyler Garcia
Yeah.
officially closed his recruitment.
Yeah, he did too. Shout out to KG. KG closed his recruitment as well. I did see that. That was a huge deal. That was a huge deal, and there was a lot of people there. A lot of people throughout, like class, like Byron Baldwin Jr. St. Francis Academy played Center Grove on Friday nights. He played that game decked out in Indiana gear. That doesn't mean anything, but he was also at the Nebraska game. Nebraska is a team that beat Colorado, who's like number one probably for Baldwin Jr. right now. Not typical that a guy's going to decommit and then recommit. But if you're gonna look at Indiana and Colorado, and you're gonna go look at the one common opponent both of them has played, Nebraska beat Colorado by 21 points, and Indiana beat Nebraska by fucking 50. So, if you want to go to Colorado and play that type of football, be my guest.
Yeah, quick math, that's about 70 points difference between us and Colorado. Who's good, by the way? Colorado's like a good team. They won over the weekend. That just shows you how fucking good Indiana is. Like
Yeah.
it's
But I don't think it was this isn't going to be one of those like holy shit, five guys like flip their commitments type of weekend, but this is going to be like a once kind of people the dust settles on the weekend and people go back and they look at the box score, they're going to be like, "What the fuck?" And I think that the ripple effect from this game and game day coming next week is like you can't understate that. Like that's why we're literally like, sold out the rest of the year. Good luck getting a ticket to Memorial Stadium because you're not going to find it through Indiana's website. You can't get it.
Yeah, I've tried. I've tried. Not successful. Yeah, is that gonna lead us to our new the next smoke segment? Game day?
Yeah, that's a huge deal.
We got game
College
day.
McAfee said last week when Sig went on that game day has been circling Bloomington. They've been dying for an excuse to go. Like we talked about when we were talking about the game, like they jumped on the first opportunity they can get. They're literally going to be there on Saturday for a Big Ten Network noon kickoff game. They said, "Fuck it, we're
Yeah.
coming anyway."
We got to flex that. That's got to be on ESPN if
It's
that's
not going to be
possible.
flexed.
It
It's
can't
not.
be
It's
flexed.
already. No,
Since
it can be. It can be flexed, and it already came out that the game is not going to be flexed.
That's a bummer. I'm definitely going to be up at 8 a.m. Chicago time watching that. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to watch every second of that until I head off to Sluggers. Yeah, let's where should they have game day? Where should they put it? Because I
Well,
saw one really good idea where they should just put it at Sample Gates, and I love that idea. Like, shut down Kirkwood, have that whole street crowded with Indiana, and just put them at Sample Gates. I think
that or
that'd be
the
absolutely
Showalter
beautiful.
Fountain.
I wouldn't hate that either.
No, Sample Gates is a good idea. I know when they came in 2017, we were there. Like, I remember seeing David Pollock behind the desk, and he was wearing a blazer and shorts.
Fire.
But they were in the stadium. Like, they weren't set up outside. They were like set up like on the field or like in the corner or whatever. It
Yeah.
was odd. There wasn't any like people there.
Yeah, that's
Cuz
because it was on ESPN. So,
it was a
and it
Thursday
was like the
night game.
first, and it was the first game of the year for college football. It was like college football kickoff. It was our freshman year at Indiana. I think they're gonna make it a little more special for Saturday game day in Bloomington. It's yeah, I think Sample Gates is my vote. Even though there
I
was
was
tons
thinking
of
by the
jokes putting him in
stadium.
front of, Ken Nunn law office or putting him on I-90, love all that. Funny jokes. Sample Gates just makes too much sense. It'll be a beautiful scene.
I think the the Arboretum would be kind of cool. I think in the tailgate fields would be epic.
Yeah, it's either Sample Gates or the tailgate fields for me.
I also think
They're
right in front of the
just
stadium, like where the Buffaloes delivery is, would be kind of cool. Kind of similar to where
I
Big
agree.
Noon set up.
Yeah, but they could do the same thing as Big Noon. I don't think they will, because I don't think they want to do the same thing as Big Noon. So I think they
No,
take
I
it to
think
the
they pick
next
a
level.
destination. I also think they make it a point to not put it near the stadium because they don't have the game. So they're not going to attract people that are going to the game because if it's a noon kick, like we alluded to earlier, and you want to be in your seat for kickoff, you can't be back there at game day.
All I know is that crowd is going to be absolutely insane. Now that we like, just picture the crowd at Barstool and the crowd at Big Noon, and then just combine that together. Like, that will be the crowd at game day.
And it's like this will be the travel weekend. Like people are gonna come, like people are gonna visit Indiana this weekend. Like friends from other schools, and like it's the perfect time to be there. Right after homecoming, like people are now pissed they didn't go. The FOMO is so real. Like it never made sense for me to do this, but like I can't tell you I didn't look at flights all week. I
Yeah.
did.
Yeah, no, I've just been too short in the punch. Definitely had some buddies going. Wish I got the invite, but I had a great time at Sluggers. It was fantastic. That's just Chicago IU bar. And that place is bumping. Full, packed house for the Hoosiers. I imagine Kirkwood was also bumping here in Chicago. It was just a great day. I saw tons of Hoosier gear like today, not only just Saturday, but people just repping the Hoosiers. It's a great time to be proud of the school, and game day is just another checked box for this year.
Do you have a guest picker prediction?
Guess picker prediction. Well, there's a lot of options with
I
IU.
have one.
I think Mark Cuban's too obvious.
I mean, yeah.
I think it's going to be my prediction is going to be Victor Oladipo. He recently got a job at ESPN. I think he's now an ESPN analyst for NBA. I think Victor makes
Vic
the
would be
trip out
dope.
and is the guest picker
Vic would be dope.
at game day.
It's probably too close to the NBA season to grab TJD, right?
That would be
Or
awesome. It'd
Day.
be crazy to bring on the starting quarterback's brother, the guest
That'd
picker.
be
I guess that's
epic.
not too. I guess that's
When does
not
the
too
NBA
crazy.
see
Like,
When does the NBA season start? Like 2 days?
In a couple of weeks. Like, I don't think Trace can make the trip, honestly. He's definitely going to be watching, but I don't think he's going to be at the game.
I'm pretty sure it starts this week. Yeah, it starts Tuesday. Yeah, there's no way. Well, actually,
Are
let's
you
see.
looking it
Hold on, let's
up?
look at the schedule. Do they play that day? And if what if they play in Indiana? Whoa. Can you hear me?
I lost you there.
Yeah, no, I don't know what happened. All right, we'll just pick back up and I'll edit it out.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah,
But back to, yeah, guess pickers.
I think it's gonna be, well, I'm trying to look, I can't find like a actual look at the NBA schedule for whatever reason. I think it was my connection over here that got messed up, but if Golden State plays anywhere near Indiana that day or the day after, he might be my pick, but it's probably a little unrealistic.
Well, so what other options do we have out there? It won't be Mellencamp because he did that for Big Noon.
Could they do Antoine Randle L? What's he up to?
I feel like he's coaching. I feel like isn't he a coach on the Lions? He can't do that in season.
They probably have to eliminate guys who are playing right now. What's Tom Green
Well,
up to? They probably wouldn't do Tom Green.
it could totally be non-athlete. I mean,
What's Tom Allen
I think
up to?
IU would love Tom Crean if he came.
What about Tom Allen? What do you think he's up to?
He's got a game. He's playing Wisconsin next week.
Damn, that's a big game. All right, let's see.
It's the I don't
Yeah,
know, there's a few other, Cuban's
Golden
a little too
State.
obvious.
I think Cuban is the, well, listen, I think Cuban makes a ton of sense for a lot of different reasons. And they just you like the school just used him to narrate the hype video for the game this week. So I think it would make a lot of sense for Cuban to be there. And I think ESPN would jump at that opportunity. Now,
I agree.
Golden State
I think if they
plays
ask
in
Cubes to do
Utah.
it, he'll do it.
Golden State plays in Utah on Friday and at home on Sunday night. And those aren't preseason games. Those are legitimate games. So no TJD. That sucks. Maybe he can like phone in or
Maybe.
something.
Maybe if they're travel, I guess Friday will be a well, Thursday night would be their travel day, so he'll be in Indiana. He'll be an hour
No.
away.
No, because he would have to go from Utah. He plays for Golden State. He'd have to go from Utah to Indiana and then from Indiana back to California.
Oh yeah, I forgot he plays for Golden State. Sorry, I was mixed up there. I was mixed up. He doesn't, yeah.
He's not on the Pacers. That would have worked out really well. I'm trying to think of who else like would make sense. Like Sage Steele wouldn't make any sense.
Everyone was suggesting Sage Steele. That's all the
Like
political
Trisha Whitaker would
nonsense. You
be.
know, I hate those political nonsense people that aren't like, we want recruits. Like, stop talking about politics on the
Straight up.
social channels, please. Like, if you want this thing to be real, like, stop weirding people out with all the politics. Like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah,
No one
it's
cares. I
football.
know
It's
it's an
football.
election year. No one gives a fuck. This is Indiana. I don't care if it's Sage Steele. I love Sage Steele. I love Mark Cuban. I love Mellencamp because they're all fucking Hoosiers. That's all that fucking matters to me. All right. So, as you can tell, I'm a little livid about it because I think it's a little bullshit that, people, are shitting on IU alums just because they swing one way or or another for political reasons. Cut that out right now. Like, cut it out. It's only gonna hurt Indiana.
I'm with you.
So yeah, I'm picking Vic. I'm picking Vic. I'm feeling good about it. It's either him or Cubes.
I think it's for sure Cuban. Trisha Whitaker would be a cool niche one, but I don't think she has a big enough profile. Like Galen Clavio would be a cool niche one, but again, like I don't know if the profile is probably not big enough. Like Jeremy Gray would be a cool one again. Trying to think. Like Dolson would be awesome, but they're like Woodson would be cool, but they're probably preparing. Could
I
they go
saw.
like full blown in? Could they do like Calbert Chaney?
They could, but I think with the game day, like, they're gonna want someone that the national audience is gonna know. Like, I don't know how big Calvin Chaney is. There was one that I thought would be pretty cool. Like, have you seen Breaking Bad? You know,
Oh, dude,
Mike.
we're overlooking this completely.
You know Mike from Breaking Bad?
No.
Jonathan Banks? Like, the old guy, the old assassin in Breaking Bad.
Nope.
Oh, well, he's played by Jonathan Banks, who is a Hoosier. I think that would be pretty cool.
Joe Buck, Brad.
Joe Buck. No, Troy Aikman.
Aikman.
Let's get Aikman. Aikman as guest picker. I think that'd be hilarious. Yeah, I think, yeah, Joe Buck's definitely pretty likely. What if they did Aikman and Joe Buck?
Yeah, I was thinking the two of them at the same time.
Not a bad idea. Only caveat is that Joe Davis does the World Series now, not Joe Buck,
Yep.
right? Okay, so that'll work with the schedules.
Yeah, Joe Buck calls Monday Night Football games. I don't know what else he does. I think that's kind of it.
Yeah, he just got the bag. Yeah, they should put
Yeah.
Troy and Joe up there. I think that'd be awesome to get them both. I don't know if they've done double guest pickers, but that the Monday Night crew would be the one that makes the most sense if you're gonna do it.
Yeah, it's true. And they're in-house too.
100%.
Yeah, they got a lot
Yeah,
of different
so
directions they could go.
Vic, Cubes, there's so many good Hoosiers out there.
Yeah, I'd probably say if I was
That's
gonna power rank the not the ones that I would want to see the most, but the most likely, I would probably say Cuban 1, Vic 2, Joe Buck and slash Buck and Aikman as 3.
Yeah, I'll alter those power rankings a little bit. I'll go Cubes, Joe Buck by himself to Victor 3. Buck and Aikman four. I think that's how that's gonna look.
Yeah, I feel pretty
Yeah, game
strongly
day.
about
Can't
that.
wait. I'm tuning in at 8 a.m. What's next on the smoke?
Let's go this direction. We already briefly talked about the Curtis Rourke injury. You had a little personal nugget you were about to drop for me, but I told you save it for the pod. So what were you about to tell me about the healing of nails or something?
Oh my days, my little nugget. Well, I was doing
Yeah.
research on nail growth, naturally, once I heard that was a nail that ripped off. And I was trying to figure out, good news is na fingernails grow faster than toenails, is what I learned, which is the biggest takeaway, because I actually lost a nail playing basketball, got a dead nail, had to rip it off, not pretty scene. And it took about, 5 months to fully grow back. Now with fingernails, if that were on the same timeline, it grows about half speed. So 3 months would be the nail to grow fully back. Now, to get to a level where he can throw the ball, where the pain goes away, I feel like that's going to happen sooner rather than later. And one of the biggest things that I kind of took away from all the announcements today was that the school didn't say that he's out. They said he's expected to be out. He might play on Saturday. I'm not ruling that out. I could totally see Cignetti, maybe even dropping a little. I don't know if this is illegal or not, but him to drop a little Pete Thamel nugget that, like, oh, Rourke may or may not play with the fingernail thing, and then just throw Rourke out there the first possession.
Well,
Like, that would be so Cignetti. That'd be the most Cignetti thing I've ever seen in my life. Would be him doing that.
Joel Klatt in the booth said saw the injury and basically said that he thought it would be a 2 to 2.5 week timeline to where he'd be able to get back and throw the football again. I did think it was pretty interesting the injury designation they gave. I didn't read too far into it, so it is kind of funny that the way you just put it, where they said he's expected to be out, not that he just is going to be out, because I saw out indefinitely. I guess that's how people were like
The
inferring
Pete
what that
Thamel
meant.
the Pete Thamel report said expected to be out. I believe the statement from the school said he is out indefinitely, which doesn't rule him out for the game.
There's
It
no
just rules him
timeline.
out right now. They just said indefinite. That could be he's out for practice for the week.
And
That could mean.
I want to say this was Hoosier Commissioner who tweeted this, but I can't remember. So shout out to Hoosier Commissioner for getting credit for this. But I think he said that Sig is pretty the n notoriously close to the chest about injury news. Actually, gets pretty outwardly pissed about it when people ask him about like injury updates, because in college you only have to drop an injury list or whatever the fucking injury report the day of the game, and you don't have to do one daily during the week like the NFL does. So you're not going to get injury information out of Coach Sig. They're going to, like, this staff is going to tell you as little as possible about the injuries on their team until they have to. So we probably won't know what Rourke's even injury disclose, like, what they're calling the injury officially until the report comes out on Saturday. If, to your point, if he's even on it.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the thing I care about the most is that his ability to grip the ball is really important. Obviously, it's going to, you know, be uncomfortable for him to throw for a while. So if that's still the case on Saturday, he still can't throw the ball, we got to ride with Taven.
Yeah, 100%.
I can't expect that. He's going to be back by Ohio State, most likely. For sure, Ohio State. Highly likely Michigan. He could miss Michigan State. Who knows? With that two to two and a half week timeline that Joel Klatt was saying. So he'd miss Washington and Michigan State. So we need to ride with Taven through those games, which doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world.
No, he's a talented kid. And
it'll be interesting to keep an eye on this moving forward.
I mean, we already know that Taven and Kadick have a connection. The TikTok that's going to be going around a lot this week, and I'll do my part in circulating it. Don't you worry. But I've been telling Brad for weeks we have to recreate that next time we're in the same room. So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, those effeminate TikToks that Dan Dockage, Daunted Dan, doesn't like. Turns out that most hard-nosed guy on our team is doing them. So maybe you should lay off Trey Galloway and Gabe Cups a little bit, Dan. All right? Maybe. Maybe. Think about it. Just think about it. I don't know.
Shout out to White Boy Rick.
Yeah, shout out White Boy Rick. He had a great time in Bloomington. It was good following him along. He's a great ambassador for the school, and I'm glad that he's affiliated with Barstool and all that and doing his thing.
Yeah, shout out to our buddy Doug Watley, too, who put up some pretty cool pictures of the Barstool pregame show. That was dope. But we talked about this briefly. But Edward, is it Catan? Coton? I gotta learn how to say this guy's last name and pronounce it correctly, because he made the most hilarious edit of the Indiana highlights that I didn't even know was possible. We retweeted it. A lot of people have been retweeting it. Go check that out if you haven't seen it yet. It was a piece of art.
It's a masterpiece.
Plainly put, that's what it is.
I was cracking up the whole time.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Absolutely. This was honestly, Brad, probably the coolest thing that happened this weekend. And we did talk about this briefly, but not on the podcast, obviously, but we,
coolest thing to happen this weekend. We beat Nebraska by 7 touchdowns.
No, that was pretty cool. I meant like not in terms of like podcast related, the Indiana NIL store did like a flash drop of Curtis Rourke, Aiden Fisher for president, vice president merch. And they tagged a bunch of people in the drop. The people they tagged in the drop were Curtis Rourke, Aiden Fisher, Indiana Hoosiers, at Indiana Hoosiers, Indiana Football Recruiting, Chronic Hoosier, Kurt Signetti, Matt Wilson, Mike Ferrara, Blake Jackson. All those guys are Indiana player personnel guys. And then us. They tagged us, Brad. So I thought that was really cool. Shout out to Indiana NIL store. I went and I copped a shirt. I got a couple other things, too. I got a Shalosh Garzon shirt. I got the Tyson Lawton shirt, the Lottie shirt. So I went, I did my NIL shopping. Shout out to the NIL store. They're creating dope shit. And that shirt was cool. And to be tagged in that is an honor. That was super cool.
Moving up in the world. Maybe someone at the NIL store listens to the pod. Shout out to you. Shout out to you, loyal listener.
Appreciate it. And if you're looking to get gear, support the boys. They have there's so much stuff on there. Like, I'm going on next week and I gotta get my Carter Smith stuff. I gotta cop some more shit. So they got, like, you can go back and get Mackenzie Holmes gear. Like, it's, they can get the Cadet shirt. Like, yeah, they got everything on there. So go check out NIL store. They're doing their thing over there.
If you would like Omar Cooper and Elijah Surratt to come back next year, I would suggest buying from the NIL Collective store. I would highly suggest it. If you want to do your part.
Yeah, go donate to Hoosier Connect and go buy a shirt.
Any way you can to donate to the NIL without straight donations, do it through the store. It obviously, it builds up, but the more people we can get on it, the better it's going to be for the program long term. So definitely, I'm plugging them maybe a little too hard here, but I don't think I am actually. No, buy from the NIL Collective store. We both buy gear off that place to, promote the school and our future. And it takes everyone. It takes a village, guys.
And I just
And you
want
get
the
some cool
shirts.
swag. And you get some cool swag
Like, I
too.
want the
Yeah.
stuff. There's sweatshirts too. There's crew necks. Like, yeah, I got a Chloe Moore McNeil shirt too that I've been looking at that I gotta grab. Like, it's not just football. It's basketball. It's baseball. It's soccer. It's Indiana sports. Like, go support the team.
Hell yeah. We got any more smoke?
Yeah, we do. No, I lied. I don't think we do.
Perfect.
Oh
Yeah, that was a good run
no.
through.
We gotta talk about Shaloubies.
Oh yeah, Shaloubies. I mean, everyone was having a great time at Shaloubies over the weekend.
How could you not have a great time at Shaloubies? Shout out to Shaloubies for providing that game day experience. You already know the only place that we like to go when we're in town is Shaloubies. The Calvin Wilson Ritas get you exactly where you need to be. And the Shaloubs, they're not bad either. So shout out to
Yeah.
Shaloubies.
So many good memories back in college going to Shaloubies. I wish there was a Shaloubies in Chicago. I'm gonna try to make. If I start a bar, an IU bar here, it's we're gonna make it. I'm gonna try to get with the Shaloubies people and make, an expansion Shaloubies bar here in Chicago. Would
Expansion
be,
Shaloubies.
yeah, we gotta expand Shaloubies. We already have a Kirkwood in Chicago. Let's get a Shaloubies.
Oh, I want to shout out. I want to shout out Respectable Adam, the respectable overlord of rock packery. The dude's been clamoring for packing the rock for months, for years. He's at every tailgate. He's one of the best fans we have. Like, he's vocal on Twitter. He interacts with people. Like, the guy's awesome. And like the success the team is having, and for fans like Respectable Adam to be able to see that. Shout out to Adam. Hashtag thank you Nebraska for making that happen.
Yeah, I hope Nebraska fans got to enjoy Shaloubies a little bit. I know it was a tough game,
Yeah,
but if you're able to check it out, to our loyal Lincoln listeners, thank you, Nebraska fans, for making our listen numbers a lot bigger. I appreciate that. What couldn't have done it without you guys. I
done
hope you
without
guys
you,
were able to
Nebraska.
enjoy, a little bit of Bloomington. It is the best college town in America. You got Kirkwood upstairs, Video Saloon, Shaloubies, the list goes on. And I threw the saloon in there. I had to.
You gotta throw them in there.
Got to.
Up with the Bloomington heavy
The
hitters.
old Vid Saloon. I mean, it's like Roy's Sports. Then you start at Shaloubies. You start at Video Saloon. You go to Shaloubies, and then you're at Sports. Like that. That was the. That's the. That's the move every
You're doing
Friday
a
night.
lot. I do, you're doing a crazy amount of travel on Friday nights then. A lot of moving around. Do you want to even
Yeah.
recap the Big Ten? Like, I don't give a shit about the rest of the conference. Like, we're just Indiana's. This is the only football team that matters, Brad. But no. What
I
are
have our. We gotta talk about the Big Ten a little bit, just a
No, we
little
do
bit
have
of
to
the
talk about the Big
landscape.
Ten. I want to talk about what you thought was going to be a trap game.
Well, first off, in my updated rankings, I moved Indiana to one because they have the widest, margin of victory in the conference. They just whooped a middle tier Nebraska, the team that's going to go to a decent bowl game this year, and they beat them by 49. So they're number one. So yeah, number two to Oregon. So we talk about, the game that, felt trappy, wasn't trappy. Purdue's bad. Not a good Purdue team. I was wrong. I wasn't sa I still picked Oregon. Like, I don't know. I was just saying it, felt a little trappy.
It
It wasn't trappy
wasn't.
at all. They only put up 35. I was shocked that the under hit, to be honest.
We have a live Shaloubies update from the Moose himself, B-Town Moose, Brad. Apparently, there's rumblings of Shaloubies merch.
Yeah, sign me up. That was always my biggest complaint at Shaloubies was that They never had any shirts. Like, Kilroy's has the shirts. Knicks has the gear. Nothing at Shalubi's. I'm glad that now that they're, getting the notoriety that they deserve. I'm glad they're starting to come out with some merch, and that's really exciting. Hopefully it all goes to the NIL collective. Because they're a nonprofit institution. And it's yeah.
All right, let's talk about the Big Ten.
All right, Big Ten. Oregon looks the part, number two in the conference. Number three, I'm putting Penn State. They had a bye. Ohio State had a bye. They're at four. Number five, Illinois making their way back. Huge win at home against Michigan with those ugly throwbacks, by the way. Ugly throwbacks. I was shocked they won that game despite wearing those ugly uniforms. But yeah,
That's why
Michigan.
they won the game.
Yeah, CBS did a really good job introing that game. I was watching that game. They did the cool old-timey intro for, yeah, I'm just glad we have that CBS deal. And yeah, Illinois looks like the fifth best team. Obviously, I think there's a big gap between those top four and the next level. Like, the next level is just an absolute shit show. Anyone could lose to anyone. So, like, take these rankings with a grain of salt. It was definitely the toughest week I had to make these rankings. And Illinois getting a big win over the defending champs at home. They're now 6-1, 3-1 in the conference. Definitely something to look out for, and a team that we don't play that we need to lose, and we don't control that destiny. But we are currently one game up on them in the conference standings. So definitely a team to keep an eye on, though. Any thoughts on that?
I think Illinois is a good football team, but I like it. It kind of just makes me more confident to play Michigan because we watched the way Illinois and Nebraska played each other. Illinois kind of squeaked one out. If that's the way they're going to play against Nebraska, I mean, football math, it's hard to do football math, but like you're going to take the one common opponent between the two teams. I'm not
A
blinking.
63-point differential. Will we beat Michigan by 63? I'm not going to set any self-imposed
No, that's not
limitations,
what
but
I'm
I'd be pretty
saying.
surprised.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that if you're going to be like that's the tier that they're playing on, right? If they're on a very similar tier and they're going to be competitive with a program like Nebraska, who we just whooped, they're like, I'm not that worried about them.
Not that worried about him. Number six, I have Wisconsin shooting up the rankings. I know they just played Northwestern, but when you look at with the whole middle pack being a shit show, they just kind of sneak their way all the way up to six with, they're looking 5-2, 3-1 in conference. Their one loss to USC where they were up at half by like two touchdowns and they somehow blew that game. This is a team that if they figured that out in the second half, would be undefeated in this conference. I think Wisconsin's trending up. They're starting to figure out that Fickell system. It took a little bit, it took maybe halfway into year two to figure it out, but they're starting to play some Fickell ball, and they're a team to watch out for moving forward. Like I
Well,
said, big gap.
USC might not be that good, though.
Oh, USC's not very high on these rankings, Keezer. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Number seven, Michigan State. Looking at their body of work, they have wins over Iowa and Maryland, which looks pretty good. And their only losses are to Ohio State and Oregon, who are ranked above them right now. So this is a very justified seven ranking for them. That looks like another middle of the pack tier win that I don't know. Yeah, obviously they'll be unranked when we play them, but that's a good win if we're able to pull that off on the road. Like
Yeah.
winning in con people think. People saw
That's a
Alabama,
rivalry game.
go undefeated year after year in the SEC, and they were like, they made it look easy, and all of a sudden people forgot that, going undefeated in your conference is not supposed to be easy. It's not. And with all the parity with the transfer portal going on, it's only going to get harder.
Is
So
the Michigan State game not the old salty Spittoon game?
I don't know if it's called the old salty Spittoon, but it's the Spittoon game for sure.
Did I just make that
Is
up?
The old salty
That'd
Spittoon. Seems like a
be epic.
SpongeBob reference.
It really does. Oh, I am wearing a SpongeBob. I'm wearing a Krusty Krab pizza shirt. That's probably why. Yeah, that is a SpongeBob reference. That's fucking hilarious.
Old salty Spittoon. But it
That is
is the Spittoon game.
The old Salty Spittoon was across the street from Weenie Hut Junior's.
Which was right next to Salubis. You don't know. So I got Michigan State there with a big win over Iowa on NBC, who kind of leads into Iowa at 8 now. Their body of work currently. They have wins over Minnesota and Washington with losses to Michigan State and Ohio State, who are both ranked above them on these rankings, making this a justified 8 ranking right now. I know a lot of movement doesn't really make sense with Wisconsin and Michigan State being double digits in the rankings last week, and now they're all the way up to 6 and 7. Iowa at 8, leading into Washington at 9. They're coming off a bye. You know, Iowa whooped the smack out of Washington. You can't, you know, put Iowa behind them. So,
Here's
move
a here's a
Washington to there.
here's a live stat correction, Brad. It is not the old salty spittoon, it is the old brass spittoon. So I was two-thirds of the way there.
We're close. We're
We were
close.
close.
At 10, I got Michigan coming off that loss to Illinois. I mean, this is a team that's just the wheels are falling off when it comes to their offense, and it's really biting them in the butt. Will Johnson also got hurt over the weekend. Doesn't look
Oof.
great. They're gonna have a tough time going bowling at this point.
Whoa.
They have a really tough schedule. They still have to play Ohio State and us. So that means
Yeah,
they
it's
have to win
brutal.
out the other games to go bowling. Because obviously, I'm not, you know, not looking ahead and saying Indiana's going to beat Michigan, but they look pretty outmatched when you look at both those teams.
I'm
Michigan still
not
has to play.
afraid.
Michigan
I don't
still
think
has to
it's looking
play.
ahead. I don't think it's looking ahead to say that Indiana is a better team than Michigan right now and that we're favored in that matchup.
We are favored in that match. I mean, it's probably been that way for about 4 weeks now.
Yep.
Michigan still has to play Michigan State, Oregon, Indiana, Northwestern, and Ohio State. They have to go 2 and 3 in that. Oh, no, they have to go. Yeah, they just have to go 2 and 3. And that kind of looks likely. They're looking like a 6 and 6 team with that schedule. And you never know what's going to happen in that Michigan-Michigan State game. You never know. Right now, Michigan State's ranked higher in the power rankings right now. It's not looking great for Michigan. It's really not. And I know we have some Michigan listeners on this podcast, and I hate to say it, it's not looking great.
But listen, the reality is when you send the most players to the NFL in the history of your school and you're coming off a national championship and every starter leaves, including your quarterback and your head coach and your starting running back and most of your defense, it's hard to be as good as you were the next year. And it's like when Harbaugh leaves, it's like you're kind of, and then all the allegations and the sanctions and like, yeah, it's going to be rough for Michigan. Congrats on your national
Yeah, that's the positive thing for them is that until
title.
further notice, they are defending champs. So they do
Yeah.
banners high banners do hang forever, as we know here at Indiana. So they have that to hang their hat on. You know, it's just gonna be tough sledding, and the Sharon Moore is gonna be something to keep an eye on. Yeah, we talk about, you know, teams moving on from their head coaches, and obviously Cignetti's gonna be a candidate for a lot of these. I'd be scared of Michigan. I'd be scared of USC. I'd be scared of Notre Dame. Anyone else in the SEC? Not really too worried about that. I just can't picture a coach wanting to go to a school that fires their head coach after a 10-win season. Florida. Sorry. Sorry about that. It's just hard for me to see. But you know, those types of schools, they're big. You know, USC and Michigan being as low as they are. Their coaches are on the hot seat. They're getting warm. Obviously, I think Michigan sticks it out with Sharon Moore for a couple years. I think they give they I think he's earned the right bringing that champ being on that championship staff. I think he's earned the right to at least get a second year. At least a full second year. USC's on the Lincoln Riley's on the hot seat. I'm gonna get to them in a second because I gotta, you know, spew about Nebraska is at 11. They drop all the way down.
That team
After
fucking
that,
stinks.
I still think they're good. I think they're a good team.
That
Looking,
team stinks.
yeah. Well, compared to Indiana, they do. They still have to play Ohio State next week. They have UCLA, USC, Wisconsin, Iowa. To go bowling, they have to go 1-4 in those games. I think that's pretty possible for them, but four of those teams, or five, well, three of those five teams are ranked higher than them on these power rankings. So we're looking at like 7-5, 6-6 maybe for them. They're still gonna go bowling, but yeah, and that's good for them. They haven't gone bowling since well, we previewed them. They haven't gone bowling since the first 2
2016.
years of Mike Riley. So
It's been a while.
yeah, that'd be a huge win for them. It would. Like when we talk about, program building, which we do a lot on this podcast, that's a big stepping stone for them, is
Yeah,
making a
listen,
bowl game.
not everybody can be Indiana, and Nebraska will get there one day. They just gotta, keep trying. Keep your
Yeah,
head up,
building
champ.
blocks, It's hard to get recruits to go play in Lincoln. All right. It's not as easy. You gotta pay them, like they have been for the past 20 years and it wasn't working. Now they can do it legally, and but now everyone can pay them legally, so they gotta catch up. 12, I got Minnesota. They're coming off a bye.
Minnesota.
Their body of work right now is a wins over UCLA and USC, who are both below them. Michigan and Iowa, that are both above them in these rankings. Pretty justified spot for them. They're very frisky. And yeah, PJ Fleck is doing PJ Fleck things, winning the
Row the
games
boat.
that are coin flips and then losing the games that, they should lose.
Row that boat.
Row the boat. 13, I got Maryland after a huge win over USC. We knew we weren't, they weren't that, they couldn't be that bad. With Billy Edwards, Ty Felton, and Caden Prather, they had to get a big win somewhere. They got it at home against USC. Maybe there is something to that goddamn travel, or maybe USC just sucks. I don't know. USC is now 1-4 in conference, but
Maybe
Maryland's four
USC
and
arrived
three.
on maybe USC arrived on a Thursday instead of arrived at 8 p.m.
On a Friday. They're partying too much in the South Break, Spring Break capital of the Northeast. They're having too much fun out there in College Park. Yeah, so Maryland, we're looking at, bowl watch for them. We're at 4-3 right now. The remaining games are Minnesota, Oregon, Rutgers, Iowa, and Penn State. Four of those teams are ranked higher than them. So that means they're going to have to upset someone. Looking at Minnesota, looking at, Iowa maybe. But, at Penn State, at Oregon, it's going to be tough for them. But yeah, they're definitely on bowl watch and ranked 13 in the conference right now. And that brings me to the next team, USC, at 14 right now. They're 3-4 in the Big Ten, in overall. They are 1-4. And why I'm going to speak a little more about this team, because if Lincoln Riley gets fired, like Juju Lewis is coming to Indiana. I just want everyone to know that. Right now, there's no way that guy sticks at USC if Lincoln Riley gets fired. That seat, as a guy who's very close to the LA kind of media and the things that go on out there and the whispers I hear, he is very that seat is the hottest seat in college football. It's hotter than Billy Napier's. That is it. And what stinks is that, with the contract they gave him, they might be stuck with him. Is the craziest thing, but the seat is hot. They're 3-4 right now. Remaining games of Rutgers, Washington, Nebraska, UCLA, and Notre Dame. With the talent they have, all five of those games are very winnable. However, when you watch them play, they've lost four, what now? Four straight? No, they've lost four of the last five, three straight in the Big Ten. They're not adjusting very well. They can't figure out how to win games. They've held a fourth quarter lead in every single one of their games this year, and they are 3-4. It's bad. It's bad over there for USC. They can't figure out how to win games, and that's a problem. They're very talented, great receiving room, decent quarterback, good improved defense from last year. Still can't figure it out. Any thoughts on the Trojans?
Nope. No, I
Yeah,
don't
I hope they.
actually. Is there a quarterback controversy there?
No, I think Miller Moss has played decent. I don't think it's completely his fault. I don't know what it is, to be honest, with them. They just somehow. Like, yeah, he
Well,
throws bad picks from time to time, but, maybe
it's a
they throw in
reflection
Jaden
of
Maiava.
a team is the reflection of their head coach.
Can't finish.
Stay away from cursing, Daddy.
No, Lincoln.
No, he would. He would. He doesn't. He doesn't play. Like that would make no sense for him at all.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, I think they like. I'm going to that USC UCLA game this year. It's at the Rose Bowl. I'll be going. It's the same weekend as Ohio State, I think. So I'll be watching the Ohio State game and then heading over to what would be a late kick for UCLA USC. I think UCLA could beat them, which is why I'm super excited.
Yeah, UCLA could beat them. They just lost to Maryland. Like, we watched Maryland.
But they have a huge bounce back. They got Rutgers on Friday. I think they're going to bounce back in that game.
Is that
anyways, it's at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they got a split. Washington, Nebraska, UCLA, and Notre Dame, given they win that game to go bowling. That's not an easy stretch for them at all. And if they don't go bowling this year with Lincoln Riley, there's going to be some very, very tough discussions because they have the money to buy him out. They have the money to pay him. They definitely have the money to buy him out. It'll be interesting. That's definitely a story to keep an eye on because Lincoln Riley is very, very much on the hot seat. But they might be stuck with him. It just depends on how much money they want to throw at a guy to not coach, which is a really tough discussion, especially with a name like Lincoln Riley, where they put so much money. They gave him a goddamn house to get him over there, a whole ass mansion. I think they gave him two houses. Like, they gave him the world, and he is just not coming through for them. Underachieved with Caleb Williams. Now they're 3-4 in their first year in the Big Ten. The future at USC is bleak, and these LA schools are not adjusting very well. 15, I have Northwestern after their 20-point loss to Wisconsin. No real thoughts on them. They're still the team we think they are. They're just frisky as hell, and they'll kind of be on and off. They're very easily exposed, but they're going to be trouble for some teams. It's going to be tough for them to make a bowl, though, with this loaded Big Ten. But definitely a team to not look ahead of 100%, as we know. They played us better than Nebraska.
Yeah. They're frisky, like you said.
They're frisky. Most of this conference is frisky, except for one team that I'm going to mention later. I don't even know if they're worth mentioning.
It is, because I won't talk about it.
Yeah, it's Purdue. Purdue is a dumpster fire of a team. They're the only team that they're probably going to go winless in the conference this year. It's an absolute shit show for them. I think that Illinois game was their one shot to get a win. Does not look great for them. So they're at 18, just spoiler alert. And then 16 and 17 is UCLA and then Rutgers. UCLA just beat Rutgers on the road. I picked the Bruins in that game and they came through. And I, you know, the time travel doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Garbers at 9 a.m. Pacific time was able to get a 49-yard touchdown run against the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. And again, UCLA's first Big Ten win in school history, which is really exciting. They're going into a bye, and it'll be great to see how they build off that. Since I'm a UCLA guy, right? So let's run through the rest of their schedule real quick and see if is a bowl game possible for this team. We're 2-5. Can they go on a little run?
No, they're not a good football team.
Well, they get Nebraska on the road. Last time they went to Nebraska, they won. I watched that game. Iowa at home, at Washington, USC, and then Fresno State. It's going to be tough, but we'll see. UCLA fans kind of have this culture where it's like, as long as they beat USC, like they can go 1-11. As long as that wins against USC, like it's all good in the world. So I guess they're just focused on, keeping the victory bell at this point. Yeah, and then Rutgers and then Purdue. Purdue is the worst team in the conference. They're not going to win a game.
Yeah, this Purdue Indiana game is approaching like a slow motion car crash, and it is, I am like salivating at the thought of putting bell to ass on Purdue. You want to talk about some much needed get back is coming. That one's circled on the calendar for sure.
Loving it, and I guess we could wrap up the show with talking about our recent 13 ranking on the AP poll and the coaches poll. That's way too low.
Way too low.
Way too low. So disrespectful.
I have a hard time believing there are five teams better than us in the country, let alone 10 teams, let alone 12 teams. So.
Yeah, so this one resource I like looking at when you know, looking at teams and seeing how good they are, like, I think it's a really good, you know, site to go on. It's called Massey Ratings, Massey Ratings. It basically is a composite of all these different computer rankings throughout, you know, college football and all these different, you know, sites and things, you know, these computer metrics. They come up with rankings for these teams in college football to evaluate, you know, who's the best team, things like that. And they composite all of those rankings together to form a new ranking, and that's like kind of a good gauge on who actually is the best team in college football. Would you like to take a stab at where Indiana is ranked on that ranking?
If they're not one, they're top three.
Ooh, a little high, but they're ranked seven, which I think is pretty fair for considering where they're at and who they played. I think they're definitely a top 10 team, and the numbers reflect that. They've been reflecting that for some time. Seven's a fair ranking. I think they're behind a ton of blue bloods like Miami, Georgia, and Texas. They're ranked above Bama on that ranking, by the way. They're ranked above Tennessee. They're ranked above Ole Miss. They're ranked above BYU. They're ranked above Iowa State on that ranking. I think seven is very fair for this team in terms of where they're at. Do I think they're capable of much more? Yes. But I think that's a fair ranking for them. There's no reason why this team should be 13. They should definitely be top 10. But yeah, shout out Massey Ratings. If you want to check that out, it's a good resource for all you gamblers out there. So yeah, check them out.
It's an excuse. It's part of the history playing into it. But I mean, listen, keep winning the way they're winning, and it's going to be hard to deny them. So you got any closing Juju Lewis thoughts?
I knew you were going to go into that. Yeah, closing Juju Lewis thoughts. He's going to show up to the Michigan game, and that's going to be an ass-whooping, belt to ass. It'll be great to show off Indiana at that point. Hopefully undefeated. Rourke could be back. Could be Taven. Who knows? It'll be exciting to see. Yeah, can't wait for him to go to that Michigan game.
Yeah, it's like, all I know is if I were a college football recruit, and I was looking at the landscape of college football right now, and I was trying to figure out who I wanted to play for, there's only one man I'd want to play for. And that's Kurt Cincinnati.
It's the guy who has a scowl on his face while the scoreboard shows his team up 42-7. That's the guy who I want to play for.
Bunch of dogs today.
And that's, I love that he admitted, like, at the end of the game, like, all right, y'all were a bunch of dogs today. And then they just go, woo-woo-woo-woo-woo. I love that video so much. Because, you know, he doesn't like giving out his praise too much to his players, you know, individually. It's more so like getting better and things like that is kind of how he approaches things. Obviously, you know, he knows more about coaching than I do. I'm sure he praises his team enough when they're doing things right. But, you know, he doesn't like to call them, you know, dogs and things like that. And I think it was a little thing that the fact that he admitted that got the team a little juiced up. And, they're going to be focused going into, you know, you could worry. This is kind of a good segue to the end of pod and kind of segue into our preview of Washington, which will happen in a few days. This is like your typical letdown spot, you know. But I think with the idea of Rourke being out, I think the team's going to be very, very focused this week. And obviously, I think if Rourke was still playing with Cignetti, my point is, I think they would still be ultra focused and focus on the higher goal. Because if you don't remember, back at Big Ten Media Day, Aiden Fisher mentioned playing 16, 17 games. This team knows what their mission is.
I'll go even farther back. Back when Cignetti got introduced, he's sitting at the desk in Lucas Oil, and he told everybody on the desk that they'd be back there in a year. And they all laughed at him.
Yeah, that man is just calling his shots. It's insane. It's insane as a recruit to like not listen to this guy, because everything he's saying is coming true.
Yeah, and I think I don't want to go as far as saying this team is letdown proof, because I don't think anybody's letdown proof, but it goes back to everybody in that locker room has a chip on their shoulder. And I think to your point, given the fact that Rourke is out, and not, I don't think it would be an issue if Rourke wasn't out, but you have to get Taven prepared to play this game, and Washington's got a good defense, and there's uncertainty, and there's doubters, and there's a spotlight, and it's, no, this team's gonna be fucking locked in. They're gonna be locked in.
Yeah, I think with Rourke being out, it's going to set them on another level in terms of being focused, making sure they're prepared, making sure they're setting up the rest of the 10 guys on offense, and making sure Tatum's set up for success. And yeah, like I said, it's the program.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're in the same spot you were when Rourke went out so that when he comes back, it's just seamless. Boom, boom, go.
You can
You can
follow
follow.
Six Inside an Indiana
Oh.
podcast on Twitter at Six Inside Pod. You can follow myself. My name's Brad, aka Goom on Twitter, at Bradley underscore Loomis 8. Still can't figure out how to change my username. I've given up. You can follow Keezer, my buddy Alec, at Alec Keezer, and check out keysportsnetwork.com. That's
Still
K-E-E
active.
sportsnetwork.com. Still active. He will be posting stuff. He recently got a real job, so less time to post on that site, but you know, we got the podcast going. Don't worry, that's never going to go away. Shout out the boys, Wave, Nick Skrill, who we have something in the works with him, and Signar. Check out Friends and Collaborators Instrumental Volume 1 on streaming platforms. Our intro song is 1621, and our outro song, Take Us Away, is the beautiful sound of Butter Symphony.
Six Inside, an Indiana football podcast. We'll see you, bunch of dogs, next week.
Say
Either
that a
later
lot.
this week.
Expect it
Later
this
this
time.
week.
Boo, boo, boo.